Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods. Yeah, if you've been listening, I actually, from Ben and Woods, just tweeted out my eBay email last night that did let me rescind my bid for Scott Weiland's used concert-worn hats that I mistakenly, finger quotes, tried to bid on eBay. I don't have $3,600 to spend on memorabilia. But I tried to do it and then freaked out. It was an accident, and that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Earlier in the show, way earlier, it seemed like forever ago, we talked to Andy Baskin from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Obviously, the big Thursday night game going tonight, the Browns and the Steelers. I've had two perspectives today.
So hard.
Everybody's both
picked the Browns.
One, yeah, Mort picked the Browns, and Cashmeti picked the Steelers, taking the points. So I still don't know what to do. I usually lean with Cashmeti as my ride or die guy. So I'll probably throw like $20 on it. Just nothing crazy. Makes the game a little more entertaining. But we talked to Andy Baskin. He is absolutely one of our favorite guests here on Ben and Woods. Here is that interview from earlier today. Joining us on the line, one of my favorites of all time, Andy Baskin from 92.3, The Fan in Cleveland. Andy, I never thought I'd be saying this, man, but it's almost over. You're more than halfway home.
I know. But I want to console you as a long time,
yes,
less than 12-month suffering Browns fan. It's going to be okay.
Okay.
Everything's going to be all right.
I feel better.
That's a long time. And if you called my show, I would tell you that's a good resume. We get people that call our shows all the time. They're like, Andy, I've been a Browns fan since dirt was invented, but I was at the 64 championship.
Oh, my God.
Jim Brown, man, he was a whale of a running back, but I was there for Pruitt and Sipe and Phipps and all those guys. And I got to tell you, okay, you've established the fact that you're a longtime Browns fan. Congratulations. Excellent resume. Excellent.
It is. It has been a weird one, to be sure, this season, Andy. You know, obviously expectations through the roof. It just goes to show you, though, you know, you can add all the talent in the world. If they don't come together, if you don't execute, frankly, if the head coach is a little bit over his skis, it's going to be a rough season in this league, right?
Totally agree with you. And I think we should have known week one when they fell on their face to Tennessee. They were unprepared. They were not ready for that game. Mike Vrabel had his guys ready to roll, and they just crushed the hopes and dreams, I think, of a lot of people the first week. And they're like, well, maybe it was just the first week, or maybe because Odell Beckham Jr. didn't play in the preseason, or blah, blah, blah. But the one thing about the team is they've shown real signs of life.
Yes.
You know, they did it against the Ravens, and I think we've been hanging our hat on that. Look, they started this week off at 2-6. They got a win on Sunday, and they could end this week at 4-6. And it would just change the dynamic, not only by picking up two wins, but by beating your arch rival in the Steelers. Now, we think they're where the Steelers' arch rival. I don't know how Steeler fans feel about that, but they're still our rival.
It's much like the Padres and the Dodgers. We feel like the Dodgers are our arch rival. They're like, ah, you guys are sweet. You guys are so sweet. I mean, the Steelers, they're playing lights out. I mean, and to their credit, nobody thought that they would go on a run like they have recently, Andy. I was looking at this last night, and actually a friend texted me and goes, all right, I have to bet this game. who do you take? And I'm like, well, Browns are at home. They're favored by 2.5. But I just said, I'm staying away. I don't know what to expect. Yeah. The inconsistency of the Browns has kind of made me shy away a little bit.
I still like the Browns tonight, although I think the Steelers' defense is playing unbelievable. But I think with Kareem Hunt entering the picture last week, it's changed the Browns' running game dynamic. And it's not so much even Kareem touching the ball, but I think the thing that blew away everybody last week was his ability to look like he hasn't missed a game.
Yeah.
And the way he blocked last week was out of this world. So I think with Hunt and with Chubb, I like the Browns. It's going to be a close game. It's going to be a good game. But I still like the Browns' running attack going up against Pittsburgh. Although, if they start causing turnovers, Browns are in trouble because we know what that can do to the Browns, too. So
Andy, the big story, obviously, this year was getting Odell Beckham Jr., getting that guy to pair with Jarvis Landry on the perimeter for Baker Mayfield. And it just doesn't seem like they're on the same page. Anybody there is on the same page with that passing game. Baker's sort of regressed. Odell's complaining about targets. Jarvis Landry has, had his moments where he and Baker are getting into it on the sideline. I mean, do you envision this? Obviously, this is a long-term project. This is year one. Do you envision this working out, or do you think they're going to have to make changes?
I don't know exactly what's going on because, you look at what the Browns had on paper at wide receiver. When this season started, this was probably the best wide receiving core since they've come back in 99.
Yep.
With Beckham, with Landry. Callaway had shown, just great breakout potential last year. And then Rashard Higgins, was another guy that really came into his own last year. And for some reason, Higgins and Callaway have been just huge problems. Callaway was suspended for the first 4 weeks of the season, so he caused his own problems. And then he was late for the game on Sunday, so he was a healthy scratch, which is totally ridiculous, too, for a guy who said he couldn't park his car, yet every player on the team gets a valet pass so that they can come up. So, I can't figure that out.
Not his first incidents either.
Yeah, definitely not his first.
No, yeah, you can say that again. So, but Higgins is the enigma here because he did something to make somebody mad somewhere along the way in the beginning of the season. He found himself in the doghouse, and maybe it was he was coming off an injury and they asked him to go in the game, and he was like, I can't go. And I think that really ruffled some people the wrong way. Again, that's 100% speculation. But... it's just if they can get Higgins and they can get Mayfield going, which sounds crazy when you have Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry,
yep.
it opens things up. It opens things a lot. My partner Jeff Elson and I argue about this all the time about, what's a third wide receiver worth? Well, I can tell you when Higgins and Mayfield are rolling, everything else opens up, and it's going to make things better for Beckham and Landry. And Landry looked great last week, too. And Beckham and Mayfield just need to get in sync, and I can't say any more than that because in the beginning of the season it looked like they were trying to force it to him, and then they totally went away from him. And then last week, first five passes to him, his first five targets were nowhere near it, and then on the sixth they finally connected, and they had a decent game. So I wouldn't be surprised if Odell has a breakout game tonight, national TV too.
Talking to Andy Baskin from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Andy, before we let you go, switching gears a little bit to baseball, what's the general mood with Indians fans right now? I know a lot of people are scared. Frankie Lindor, my opinion, he's one of the best players in baseball. He's the guy you want to build a team around. Not a guy that you would ever even consider letting go, but their owner, your owner there, has said, hey, enjoy him while we got him because he's not going to be here forever, which is just it's the worst thing an owner can say. It just breaks your heart. I've also heard Shane Bieber maybe. They're taking offers for some of the best young players that you guys got.
Yeah, I don't know about Bieber so quick because there's a lot of time still with him, but it's just I think pretty much everyone's settled into the fact that Lindor, they're not going to be able to afford him. So when are they going to trade him? They sold him for two seasons. And look, when you have this pitching staff that they have right now, they still have the opportunity to go out and win and get to the World Series next year, especially if we can figure out how Houston's going to find new ways to cheat like they did against the Indians before.
Yes,
but
indeed.
That's another story.
That's been a fun one, hasn't it? Oh, my God.
It drives me nuts because the Indians stone-cold busted a guy,
yep.
Taking video
yep.
Inside the dugout pictures. Lee didn't care about it.
Didn't care.
And then he went to Boston the next week. In 18, it's the same thing.
Same thing. It's staggering.
They don't care. They don't care. I mean, Major League Baseball is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. They busted a guy shooting video inside the Indians dugout and didn't do a thing about it other than say, you can't do that. And then he came back the next week. So So when this whole thing came back up this week, it's just been firing me back up.
Oh, I've been fired up all week, and I feel there's some vindication. You know, I think so many teams caught them. The Yankees caught them doing it. I think the Red Sox caught them doing it. All these teams caught them doing it. And it, for me, it's the pomposity. It's the arrogance from all of the players, from A.J. Hinch. I mean, like, who, us? That's a joke. That's laughable. Not so funny anymore.
No.
Not so funny anymore. Andy Baskin, thank you so much. I know you got a show to get to, so we'll let you go. We really appreciate your time.
All right. What's the weather like there today?
Perfect. It's going to be perfect.
Yeah, 75.
Yeah, 75, sunny. It's going to be perfect. A little warm, actually.
40. It'll be good football weather when you're watching on TV tonight. Have a great day, guys.
Can't wait, brother. Thank you. That is Andy Baskin from 92.3, the Fan of Cleveland. Thank you again to Andy Baskin, one of our favorites here on Ben and Woods. The great, notorious HIG, Ben Higgins, is up. He's listening, and he says, I flip on the radio. The first things I hear are Higgins is a problem, and Higgins is an enigma. We're talking about Higgins, the wide receiver for the Browns, Ben. Not everything's about you, man. I'm just joking. That's a joke.
No, I love the sleeping
just
into
to come
Ben.
In and rip Ben.
Yeah.
I like sleeping into Ben is 8:10.
Dude, sleeping into me is 5.
I know.
5. I never can sleep. I get, my wife has instilled this guilt. Like, only losers sleep. So that's my mentality. I rest a lot. I lie on my ass a lot, but I rarely sleep.
Yeah. And, can you nap? Are you nap?
I want to. But like I said, she has instilled a fear of napping into me. So I'm afraid to nap. As soon as I like start to close my eyes, I'm like, I hear my wife going, you're a loser. You're a load. And I don't sleep, but I lie there, like play on my phone, watch TV. But I rest a lot. I don't actually get to nap. Ham, are you a napper?
Big time napper. I can't nap for like 20 minutes. I don't get how people do that. They say you're supposed to only nap
like a power,
20
the power nap. Power.
I'll do that. Nordstrom's, I get like a 45-minute lunch, so I'll go to the parking garage, and I'll go to my car, and I'll nap for like 30 minutes. But, dude, I hate that.
If I do a short nap, then I'm groggy the rest of the day.
Same. I do a nap, I want like a four-hour nap.
I want a borderline. That's not a nap.
That's a sleep.
When I got home from Italy and was, you know, because I was there for like 3 days.
Yep.
So I didn't adjust to the time, and then when I came back, I wasn't adjusted to the time. Dude, I took like a 5-hour nap, and I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
It's the best.
And it's 9 o'clock at night now, and you know what I'm
going to
do?
I'm going to sleep.
I'm going back to bed.
That's the greatest.
And I slept for like, it was like 17 hours.
I have sleep apnea like a madman, apparently. My wife says that, said a couple weeks ago, I was laying there, and I sleep on my back, and I was just like,
I can't sleep on my back.
And she goes, you're not breathing. And I go, I'm trying not to. I don't know what that means. I don't know. I have no idea. But I have really bad sleep. I don't sleep. I just don't. I toss and turn, take Ambien, whatever. Like I just don't get a good night's sleep.
And sleep's so important. Have you gone and got that checked out?
So I did the thing. I had the mask once. The woman repeller.
The Bane mask?
Yeah, I had it.
You're married. You're fine.
That's true. But apparently, I would wake up with panic attacks because I thought I was drowning every night. It was the worst night's sleep. It was a worse night's sleep with that thing than I ever had.
There's a surgery they can do now.
I don't want a surgery.
Well, it's a little laser thing.
Oh, it's lasers? Lasers.
And they like open up your airway from the inside.
Interesting.
It's worth
looking
into. I just
like lasers.
Lasers. They do lasers and everything. They're going to laser my fat double chin out someday. That's a promise. So I don't get a lot of sleep. Probably why I'm grouchy a lot. Coming up next, we have not talked about this at all, and it's probably because we really can't make sense of the whole situation. So the Colin Kaepernick story has now reached a very weird, weird turn, and we will try to break that down for you next right here on Ben and Woods. It is San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get a check of traffic with Sue D, though. Guys, this is always the hardest part of this job.
What's that?
You know, we are a morning show. We are a sports-based morning show. We talk other things, obviously. And just got a thing on my Twitter. You know, we're about to talk about Colin Kaepernick. The transition from this, though, at least 6 kids shot, or 6 people shot at Saugus High School in Santa Clarita, right up, you know, fairly right up the road. Now, this is saying at least 7 victims in shooting at Saugus High School in Santa Clarita. Of course, they've got the live feed of the students kind of running out. Authorities
classic Columbine shot.
Yeah, 40 miles north of L.A. There are at least 7 victims. This is what we know right now. Details about the victims' conditions were not immediately available. It's not clear whether the victims are students at the school. Details about the shooting and shooter were not immediately available. We know, I guess, little to nothing. There, again, is aerial video showing students with hands raised being escorted. The school is about 2,300 people. It is just another example in our country of a senseless act of violence, cowardice, all of it. And it's just really sad. It breaks my heart. And it always did break my heart. And it breaks my heart a lot now, a lot more now that I'm a father. You know, and when you say goodbye to your kids in the morning, you definitely expect to see them home.
Yeah.
After school lets out.
Of course.
And I didn't have to go through this when I was a kid. It never entered my psyche. Never entered my mind. Never one time in high school.
Me either.
There were a couple guys that you looking back, being like, yeah, that wouldn't have surprised me. But like, when I went to school, I knew I was. You worry about getting your ass kicked or getting in a fight. Yeah, I lived through all of that. But I never had to worry about this. Never.
No.
And it's beyond heartbreaking. It's beyond sad. And I don't know how to fix it. I don't want to opine on that here on this radio station.
Where are we going to be at? Like, I'm 29. Like, I don't know. In the next 5 to 10 years, I'll probably have some kids. So, like, when they're high school age, like, where are we going to be at as a society then?
I have no idea.
Am I going to be able to send my kids to school?
Like, it just seems like this is a problem we should be able to solve.
Yeah, you think.
With enough people.
You would think with enough people. And I just, you know, look
like,
at
it. I think everybody agrees there shouldn't be a shooting at a school.
Correct.
Like, there's no one who's pro-school shooting.
Of course.
You know, so
of course.
We're all against this. You figure we could figure something out.
Yeah, and it happens too much in this country, and it breaks my heart. And again, this one, it doesn't matter where it is. It doesn't matter if it's Sandy Hook. It doesn't matter if it's in Colorado. But this one's right up the road, you know, in Santa Clarita. And an awful, awful story as well. And it's just so hard to transition. You know, this is a morning show. People are driving to work. They want to hear good news. They want to laugh. They want to make fun of me for bidding $3,600 on Stone Temple Pilots memorabilia. You know, those are the things that we try to do on our show. We don't try to get serious, but you see that and you wonder, man, does somebody know somebody up there?
We're reacting to it in real time.
That's exactly right, man. And I would feel like an idiot if I just ignored it. And unfortunately, we can't. I think that's been part of the problem. Too many people ignoring it and wishing thoughts and prayers and it just going away. And it never goes away. So, listen, whatever we can do to help here as a radio station, you know, I'm happy to do. Just another sad day in our country, man. Let's try to transition, though, into this pretty big story in sports. It's never easy to do. It sucks. It's not smooth. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel right. But that's what we'll do in the interest of being professionals and moving on with our show.
Something not controversial.
Like, yeah, Colin right. Kaepernick. Yeah. Let's go to something lighthearted, you know, like Colin Kaepernick, which people don't have opinions on at all. This was an interesting thing, I think. When it broke, everyone was like, oh, okay, so Kaepernick's going to be doing a workout for, allegedly at the time, it was all...
NFL.
NFL. All teams are welcome. And then people started digging in a little deeper to what's going on with this. So they were going to plan it for this coming Saturday?
This Saturday, yeah.
Which right then should have been the first red flag. Saturday, teams are getting ready to play on Sunday.
And the top scouts are all at college games.
Right. And they're preparing for a draft. Now, Colin Kaepernick may have some gas left in the tank. I mean, you look at some of the backup quarterbacks around the league and you go, yeah, he's probably better than that guy. He's probably better than at least 5 starters this weekend. I mean, at least based on the last time we saw him play, right?
He's better than Brian Hoyer.
Better than Brian Hoyer, right. Like, you look at it and you're like, Matt Moore, okay.
At the very least, he's athletic and maybe he is a backup, could do something for you in a pinch.
Absolutely. But obviously, you know, some people's stance on Colin Kaepernick. The juice isn't worth the squeeze. The media circus that would accompany him.
Sure.
It may not be worth it for NFL teams. There's been talk of collusion. There's been lawsuits. It's a really, really sticky situation. But this came out. The NFL had told reporters, you guys need to be ready for a big announcement. So they were. All right, Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern or something.
In Atlanta,
we're going to have a workout for Colin Kaepernick. They gave Colin Kaepernick 2 hours to accept or deny this, okay? This was not something that his people put on, something the
wasn't
NFL
like,
put.
Yeah, and it wasn't like it's a prepared workout where Colin Kaepernick's people are going to put him through, you know, like the people he trains with or whatever.
Yeah.
This was not, he had no idea.
None of the 32 teams had been made aware of the workout before the memo was sent. When his representatives asked whether a team or teams had asked for the workout, the NFL office said, we can't tell you that. It's very, very strange. It is extremely, extremely strange.
And Kaepernick's people immediately said, hey, can we schedule this for the following Tuesday? Because that's the day that all NFL teams have the day off. So they could send in their scouts, send in their executive. That's usually when you always hear about it on a week that, oh, so-and-so brought somebody in for a workout. It's always on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Always on a Tuesday.
Not on a Saturday before game day. All right? And so we kicked it around briefly this week, and I said, you know what it feels like to me? It feels like, you know, they're in a lawsuit. Maybe they're working some stuff out. Maybe the NFL realizes, yeah, we probably could get popped for collusion here. So here's what we'll do. We'll throw a little workout for him. If he comes, great. If he doesn't, cool. No skin off our nose. You know, we made the effort. We threw it out there for Colin. We extended the invite. He said no. Given 2 hours to prepare and know it was coming, it felt a little bit like eyewash, right? And I think that's kind of been that's what everybody is thinking now.
Well, they've settled that collusion lawsuit.
Right, right. But it's, not collusion, it's more of goodwill.
Yeah.
Right, like a goodwill thing.
It's a PR stunt.
PR
stunt. That's what it feels like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we had it yesterday. We had some audio. Eric Reed, who's obviously very close with Colin Kaepernick,
yep.
Very socially aware.
Yep.
And this is what he had to say when asked about it.
It feels like the same play from the NFL. It feels disingenuous. They told Colin that he has the opportunity. And that the league will send representatives from each team, but it's a Saturday before a game. Teams are traveling on Saturdays. What head coach or GM is going to be able to make this trip? As far as I know, Colin's going to be there, and he's going to perform because I know he's right.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious now why they are doing that, and it's I have heard that coaches for the Dolphins, the Lions, the Falcons, and the Buccaneers say they are expected to have a representative. But, you know, it's some representative
out
there.
It's a random scout.
It's a random scout, a random guy. Like,
you're not going to get GMs there.
Right. Eric Reed's right. Like, the only one that's going to make that call is probably going to be a GM. Now, you can take somebody, a scout's word for it, and then do your own private. If you're really interested in going down the line with Colin Kaepernick as your backup, or even in some of these teams' cases, probably your starter, then you're going to have it's going to have to continue.
Yeah, big deal. Yeah. Well, and then there was another report that came out, and I don't know who I you know, was reading dozens of reports about this over the last day, but somebody had said that over the years since Kaepernick's been out of the league, a few teams have wanted to work him out.
Yep.
And had reached out to the NFL to be like, "Hey, is this okay?" And they hadn't really gotten positive responses from the NFL. So that just speaks to the collusion argument.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
If they're having you can work out whoever you want to work out. Why are you going to the NFL about it?
Right. Yeah, very afraid of getting their hands slapped, my friend. Very, very afraid. All right, coming up next, very happy to be joined by our friend, our colleague, Tony Gwynn Jr. I want to get his take on some of the stories going around baseball right now. Also, let's talk Padres, man. Let's talk Padres with Tony Gwynn Jr. He's pretty dialed into the organization. Want to know what he thinks about some of the potential guys being moved this offseason. We will come right back with Tony Gwynn Jr. All right, it's Ben and Woods, brought to you by the Golf Mart, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. We're going to be joined by Tony Gwynn Jr. in just a second. One final check of traffic with Sue D, though. Thank you, Sue D. And we have made it, boys. We're like 20 minutes away. And I will say the show has flown by.
Flown.
As long as we don't completely blow this segment with Tony Gwynn Jr., then I'd say it's been a pretty solid show without Ben Higgins in. TG, you there?
Woods, are you all by yourself today, dog?
Yeah, dude, I got Ryan Phillips in here, but Ben needed a couple days vacation, and that's fine. I'm not super comfortable in this role. Like, Tony, if you ever went to the ballpark and your skipper was like, hey, can you play first tonight, how would you have felt?
I'd have probably laughed in his face first, and then I'd have been like, are you serious?
Okay, that's what Woods did to Adam.
Yeah, we need you to catch.
Yeah, Tony, you get behind the dish tonight? Nah, man. It's not my comfort zone, but you know, you slog through and you take one for the team because you know your buddy, your partner, you know the guy's worn out. Now my partner's not out in Tahiti and Hawaii like your partner is. This dude's working two jobs, right? So, man.
Yeah, he's one of the hardest working dudes in San Diego, no doubt.
He sure is, man. Well, thanks for taking the time, TG. There's a lot of areas we can start. I think people are tired of talking about the Astros right now. I saw a guy was yelling at me on Twitter, like, enough. I'm like, I don't know. I'm really into this story. It's fascinating to me. It's fascinating. So, you know, you played in the league for a long time. You grew up around the game. This is wrong, right, Tony? This is wrong.
100%. I mean, when you're talking technology, I mean, all the way up to algorithms,
yep.
I think we are well, that's so far over my head that as a guy who played, I can only imagine what it's like for fans. Maybe the reason why people don't want to hear is because they genuinely don't understand how it works. And put it this way, if this turns out to be true, this is going to be up there. And, you know, as far as scandals in sports, this is going to be up pretty high. I mean, you got the Black Sox way back in the day. You got the Pete Rose incident, which was more individualized.
Yep.
And then you have the steroid era. This is going to be up there with that if this turns out to be true.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at the evidence as it presents itself, the smoking gun for me, Tony, is Mike Fiers and him coming out and saying, yep, we did it. And then just watching some of the videos, it's staggering to look at. And, you know, from your perspective, if you're up at the dish and you're playing a game and you have that kind of information, like, in my opinion, especially against Tony, the changeup. If you know the changeup's coming and you can lay off, is that the best pitch to know is coming that you can lay off of it?
Yes, because in most changeups, it's usually a straight change. There's not a whole lot of movement to most guys' changeup. So if you know that before the pitch comes out of his hand and you're able to distinguish between that and a fastball, my gosh, your percentages go way up. And to me, the smoking gun one was the video of Danny Farquhar,
yep,
and Evan Gattis is fouling off. And listen, good hitters at the big league level, they're going to foul off tough pitches from time to time.
Of course.
But Evan Gattis fouled off like four or five changeups that were like down almost in the dirt,
yep,
to the point where it's like the third time it happened, Farquhar stepped off. To me, that is the biggest smoking gun.
That was huge.
Banging, yeah, that one I think is going to end up costing
them
big time.
Yeah, and I think so, too. I don't know what's going to happen exactly punishment-wise. There needs to be something done. I mean, they've got to forfeit draft picks. They've got to have suspensions. I don't know. Yeah, their silence has been deafening because you know this, TG. They are one of the mouthiest teams in Major League Baseball. They are always at the front and center of, we do it this way, and they're always quick to pipe up Bregman, Verlander, A.J. Hinch. And you look at this, you're like, why the silence, guys? Why the silence? I get it, you know, but
the irony in the fact that Verlander is so quiet, because anytime somebody gets popped for steroids,
yep,
anything along those lines, he's one of the first people to chime in. We've heard nothing from them. And besides that, the whole investigating yourself thing is just outrageous. So I certainly hope MLB is full-fledged involved in this investigation. Because you're right, Houston, and listen, rightfully so, they've won a title, they've been to two World Series, they have a right to be somewhat, you know, they have a right to feel themselves somewhat, but
no doubt,
they are a cocky bunch, and it, you know, this puts into question why they're so cocky.
There's no question about it. We're joined by Tony Gwynn Jr. here on Ben and Woods this morning. Switching gears a little bit, I know everybody's excited. It was so good to see you Saturday at the unveiling. You guys did a great job. That was pretty special, man. You being up there,
it was
my favorite part was the video. So they have Tony Gwynn Sr. talking about, you know, the community, being part of the team with the uniforms, and then they've got Junior talking about it. The whole thing was amazing. What was it like for you to just be up there watching all that?
It was awesome, man. I mean, to be a part of, you know, the change that's happening, the new uniform, just the excitement, and to be, you know, front and center and a part of the video, it was awesome. And listen, you got to tip your hat to the Padres. They did a tremendous job putting that together. That was exactly how you would want an unveil to go in terms of your uniform and the kind of support they got from the fan base. I just think that was well executed, and I was super proud to be a part of it too.
It was beautiful. I was pretty honored to be a part of it myself. I thought it was really special. Now, so that's behind us. We got the uniforms.
Right.
They look clean. They're
Step
amazing.
One.
Step one. So here right. we go. The off season is here. Everybody's kind of waiting for that first shoe to drop. I tend to really think we are going to be one of the most active teams in wheeling, dealing, free agents. I don't know how many free agents we're going to go out and sign, but as far as moving pieces around, how different do you expect the roster to look 2020 opening day?
I expect it to be pretty a lot different, honestly. And by a lot different, I think there's a chance you could see some new outfielders. I think there's a chance you could see a new infielder or two, maybe a catcher. That's the thing is the Padres, and we've heard, you know, AJ kind of addressed this, how he wants to upgrade this roster a little bit. So this roster could look completely different. I mean, just think from the time the season ended until now, they had 56 guys on the 40. They're already down to 40, so they've changed, you know, four different things at this point. Yeah. So I expect there to be a lot of change. This is a big season for the Padres in terms of the expectation. And I think, you know, the ownership, AJ, I think they all recognize that. And I expect there to be a flurry of trades before there is anything done with the free agency. At least that's how I look at
it. Now, when other teams know that you need to make a lot of moves, that puts you a little bit behind the eight ball, right? Because maybe they'll ask for more. But when you have such depth like the Padres have, doesn't that put you in the ultimate position of power?
Well, it can. It can work both ways, right? Because the Padres, what they need is they need big league ready guys.
Yep.
Guys that are already, you know, ready to go. And what they have a lot of is the new currency in Major League Baseball. We've heard that phrase used a couple different times. We heard it from AJ after the firing of Andy Green. Then we heard it from Ron Fowler not too long ago. The currency in baseball is young prospects, and the Padres have a lot of it. So on one hand, yes, the teams know that they need a lot. They need some major league pieces, but they have the thing that all organizations that aren't in the running for playoffs, they have all the things that they want. So I would guess that they're going to be dealing from a position of power.
Well, and there's a couple of teams out there, TG, that very much interest me, one of them being the Chicago Cubs. I have no idea why they're willing to listen and want to possibly break up some of that core that they have there. You know, Javi Baez, my God, he would be – I don't think they would let him go, but if he's out there, I would do almost anything to get a guy like that here, MVP-type player. You know, Chris Bryant played at USD, can play outfield. I mean, there's a couple names. I realize they want some left-handed power, and I know that, but be tough to turn down either one of those guys.
Yeah, I don't think they would.
Right.
If they have the opportunity to get it. You can get a left-handed bat anywhere, right? You can get it in the outfield. You can get it, you know, you can get it behind the dish. You can get it at second base. You just have to find the right pieces. And listen, if there's a guy like Javier Baez available and he's willing to play second base, no brainer. Now, Chris Bryant's a little more difficult, right? Because where do you put him? If he is available, you got to put him in the outfield. That works, but is that his primary position? Remember, I'm a big believer that at Petco Park, the teams that have had success, they pitch and they play deep.
Yep.
The offense has always been a bonus. Now, the offense didn't live up to the expectation last year, but you certainly expect that they will now. Anytime you can add pieces like that, I think it's a no-brainer. You go do it.
Well, Tony, speaking of pitching, you just mentioned it. Teams pitch and play defense. Those are the winning teams at Petco. I mean, who would you like to see, if you're priority number one, who would you like to see the Padres go after? I mean, within reason. It doesn't seem like they're going to be able to go after a Garrett Cole. He's going to get $30 million, possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, who is the guy you would like to see them go get?
I mean, yeah, ideally you'd like to see a Cole or a Strasburg, but it doesn't look like that's in the cards. A guy like Wheeler, I think it would be a good fit. Even knocking on the doors of somebody like a Cole Hamels, right? Get a veteran in there who's still pitching at a pretty good level. Had a good year with the Cubs last year. I think Madison Bumgarner has to be looked at. The thing is, that second tier pitching is kind of deep.
It
after
it
you get past Strasburg and Cole, you got some options to really look at. And the Padres, I think, understand that that's a part. If you get the right guys in that rotation, it's only going to help the likes of Chris Paddock, you know, some of the younger guys, because now they can slot down in the rotation. They're not having to go up against ones and twos every fifth day. You slot and go against some threes and fours, and now you're setting them up for success. So I personally believe those are the first moves that the Padres have to go after is that pitching.
It's going to be exciting to see. I mean, there's so much that, you know, you mentioned the name Cole Hamels. I mean, and a lot of people are like, that guy's 36 years old. You need a guy.
He pitched really well.
He pitched well. Yeah. And imagine him sitting in a corner with Mackenzie Gore and Chris Paddock and teaching those guys how to pitch, what it's like to pitch in the playoffs, in the World Series. I mean, the guy has done it. When I watched him pitch, I went and watched him pitch a couple times last year. He still has a lot left in the tank. Mm-hmm. And from my understanding, is doing a lot of workouts with Garrett Cole's guy, who has kind of helped him transform his career. So he wants to win. That's the thing about that dude. He's a competitor. He made some comments years ago about the Padres that I don't think he'll ever live down, about him not wanting to play here. But that was a different regime, I feel. And I feel like he's a good fit.
Listen, Woodsy, those comments were made, and although they may have hurt San Diego, they were true at the time.
At the time. You
know, that's just the bottom line. This is a different regime that is doing things differently. I've already had to eat crow 2 years straight when rumors popped up that they were going after Hosmer or going after Machado. I thought to myself, there's no shot. And I've been wrong twice now. So clearly, this organization has changed in terms of, you know, guys are willing to go after what they're willing to spend. Now, I think Cole would be – just think, how many times last year did the Padres have to go to a bullpen day because they didn't have the depth to do have another starter? And they almost lost all of them.
Yes.
So having a guy at the back end of your rotation like a Cole Hamels is 100% a bonus. And, you know, considering what the Padres are dealing with in terms of what they want to spend in free agency, he might be – the type of fit along with a Wheeler. You know what I'm saying? You don't bring Cole Hamels in alone, I don't think, but if he's another piece to the rotation, absolutely.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I think getting guys that are a long-term fit here as well, it also important. Doesn't mean you can't do both.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you can't
get
a guy that's going to be here for 6 years and you know, help sustain the run. But it also doesn't hurt to help bridge that gap with maybe some veteran guys. Look, I think everybody here, we're all ready for fresh faces. We're ready to see some guys move on. It's probably time in a lot of those instances. Go somewhere else and see if you can figure it out. But it's going to be a fun one, man. I'm happy that we get to work together and be able to talk about all of it, TG. Thank you for jumping on with us this morning, man.
No problem. You guys enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
You got it. You too.
Thanks.
And, of course, you can listen to Gwynn and Chris today. And they'll be talking about this as well. It's fascinating. I mean, this guy, former NFL guy, tweets, and Fowler said this will be the decade of the Padres, not the 2 to 3 years of the Padres, as would result from your suggested trades. Well, I mean, like, Cole Hamels is a free agent, so he could sign anyway.
Yeah,
right?
I think that they're referring to, you know, trading five prospects for Baez or something like that. I agree. I think that you look at the depth of the prospect. And
Baez, it's not like he's 30 or 35.
Right, I mean,
I agree. He's part of, if that was a case, I don't know that it is. We're throwing stuff out there.
But here's the other thing. The Padres' top 30 prospects, you look at them, and what everybody around the league, if you will talk to, like, talent evaluators, they'll tell you that the 31 through like 45 would be on everybody else's top 15.
Exactly. Depth is staggering. It really is staggering what A.J. Preller's been able to do there. Now, again, not a lot of it's transferred to the big leagues, and that's kind of what I'm looking at this year. I'm telling you.
It's got to start transferring.
Meaningful baseball in September would be such a friggin' treat. And I'm talking 3 games out, 2 games out would be amazing.
In the hunt.
Buyers at the deadline, you know, all those things. I fully don't expect the Padres to win a World Series or really even compete for one in 2020. Today, obviously, with what the roster looks like. But on opening day, if there's a couple of new arms, there's a couple new bats, like our chances. I like our chances to at least be in the fight, be in the hunt. Because that's, I mean, frankly, we need to be captivated in this town.
Sure. We're starved for it.
Starved.
I mean, we were starved for a star. We got a star in Manny Machado and Fernando
and Paddock. I mean, you know, to some extent. And it's happening, and so it's just, it's bubbling up.
But yeah, we were starved for a star. Now we're starved for meaningful games.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Jace Tingler, if I'm him, the weight of the world is on that guy's back. I mean, he's already kind of against, he's behind the eight ball a little bit with a lot of fans because nobody knew him. He's got a tough road ahead of him.
Sure.
And if they get off to a crappy start, Ryan, I don't know what people are going to do. If they get off to a 2-12 start, what happens?
I don't know.
I really don't know. I hope to God that does not happen. But, I mean, look, can you recover? Sure. Look at what the Nationals did.
Yeah.
But, oh, my God. If that happens here, I don't even want to come to work. I don't think we could open the phones. Like, what would you do? He would just get killed. I mean, the whole organization would get killed.
Yeah.
It's so important that they get off to a hot start. Like, the most important of any team, I feel.
No, you know? And I know,
agree. We're closer to it here, but I'm sure the guys in New York aren't saying, yeah, man, those Padres better get off to a hot start or they're dead. No, but I mean, for us, it's imperative.
Yeah, they have to start showing the results more than just a stretch early in the season where they looked real good and were kind of in contention.
If they lose opening day, BFD, who cares? Yeah. But if they lose 8 out of 11 to start the season, it's going to be hell on earth here. I mean, it's going to look like Thunderdome. I mean, seriously, the walls are going to be
melting.
100%. People are going to be losing their minds. Oh, man, we made it. We did it. Ryan, thank you so much for filling in today.
Always,
really
buddy.
Appreciate the help. And Ben will be out again tomorrow. So tomorrow on our show,
we got some interesting stuff happening tomorrow.
Tomorrow's going to be a good one, man. We got Tabitha Lipkin coming in. Did we confirm, Brandon?
Yes, I believe that is happening.
Remember Brandon League used to be a closer in the bigs?
We will have confirmation.
Mohawk.
Soon.
Yeah, so he's Brandon. It's crazy. So he lives here. He lives in Encinitas, and he's a badass. I always liked Brandon League. I know he pitched for the Dodgers and everything, but Paul pitched for the Mariners, was a badass. Like, mm-hmm. He was just a cool guy.
Tough dude.
Closer in the big leagues. Lives in Encinitas now. He's got a clothing line, like, down the street from where I live. It's awesome. Tabitha Lipkin, who's going to be co-hosting with me from 7 to 9, she was doing a feature. I'm going to go, dude, bring him in. I'd love to meet him and talk to him and talk about, you know, baseball. Let's talk about signs and all that stuff and what his life has been like since he's left the game of baseball. Still a pretty young dude.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was talking to a tier one yesterday, and he goes, what is happening at 7:45 tomorrow?
Dude,
and I go, I don't know. I might need to put out a poll. Are we going to do Tabitha Reads Raps, or do we do Ben Reed, or Woods Reads Luke Bryan?
Oh, I don't know about any of that. All I know is that tomorrow's show, we've got stuff planned that's going to make me very uncomfortable. Paul, very uncomfortable. It sucks, but we're doing it for you. Thank you guys for tuning in. Really appreciate you. Ryan, once again, thank you. Thank you to Hammer. Thank you to Paul. Be back tomorrow at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.